around it.
Parshas Mishpatim begins with Ve'ela HaMishpatim Ashutosim Nifneim. Ve'ela, the Vav is Moisif al Inyan Rishon. In other words, it continues from last week's parasha, and in a very, very peculiar way, we begin a parasha of Matan Torah, Seiros HaDibros. Then we have the parasha of Ve'ela HaMishpatim, which the halachas, many halachas, mesechtas are written on nuances in the psukim in this week's parasha, and at the end of the parasha we start going back again to Nasi v'Nishma. Okay? One would imagine that the idea behind Mishpatim, say Parshas Mishpatim, is a concept of bringing into society laws that allow it to survive. In every society, in every environment, in every country, in every law-abiding phenomena, we know that it's important, it's crucial that we have certain halachas, there are certain laws that apply. You know, there's traffic laws, and there's monetary laws, and there's tax laws. All these different laws allow the land to coexist. And we seem to imagine that Elah Mishpatim, that Mishpatim as well, there's certain halachas that exist in order to allow us to survive and to exist in this world. But Lamaisa Rabbeisai, nothing could be further from the truth. The Parshas Mishpatim that teaches us the laws of coexistence, the laws of damages, the laws of lending money, the laws of loans, and all the various different things, is nothing to do with coexisting. It's nothing to do with allowing us to live as a society. And I'll prove it to you. The Zohar HaKadosh says, "Ve'ela Mishpatim asher tasim lifneihem, da roza de gulgulta." This is the secret of Gilgulim. This is the secret of Gilgulim. What's a Gilgul? A Gilgul, as we know, there's certain elements that we don't understand, but a person comes back to the world very often for a tikkun. Yeah, he's not a new neshama. His neshama in the previous lifetime did not fulfill what it should have fulfilled. And we come back to the world for a second chance or a third chance, whatever it may be, in order to do a tikkun. So the Ve'ela HaMishpatim, these are the laws. This is the secret of Gilgulim. So writes the Zohar HaKadosh. Now, obviously, we have to understand what that means. So, the Divrei Yecheskel brings a story. Divrei Yecheskel is the Shin of a Rav. He brings a story from Yeshua Leib from Leib Yitzchak from Bedichev. And he says, this story happened in Bedichev, that there was a very, very wealthy man who sold a piece of property to his friend, right? He sold a piece of property to his friend, and that friend paid him the money. The friend paid him the money the night before, and the next day he said, "Pay me the money now." You should never do that. Pay me the money now. Tomorrow we'll write the contract of the sale, and you'll have in your hand the sale contract or the piece of land that you have. So he gave him the money, and next day they're waiting to write the contract, but unfortunately, nature and the Grim Reaper, yeah, made a visit, and this man was nifta that night. Man was nifta that night, and now the man has the money in his reshus, this wealthy man has the money in his property, and this man does not have any document to prove that the land was sold to him, and he came to the Yisaimim. This man who paid all this money for this piece of property, but he couldn't prove it, came to the same and said, "You should just know, last night I gave the money to your father, and today you're supposed to write a contract to give me the piece of land, and I don't have it. I'd like the piece of land." The children said, "Take a hike." I don't know, it's true. I'm saying, honestly, really, go away. Off you go. So he said, "No, I'm going to take you to the Rav." So he took him to Rav Levi Yitzchok, and Rav Levi Yitzchok sat down and said, "Lamaisa, I'm very sorry. There's no way of proving. Do you have any proof?" "No, I don't have any proof." "Al pi halacha, there's no way of determining that you actually own that piece of land." So they were terribly, terribly upset. And Rav Levi Yitzchok was very, very upset. And he had a dream. He fell asleep and he had a dream. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu explained to him in his dream. It sounds like a Rebbe Shemaisa, but I can back up with a Chazon Ish. Okay? HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to him in a dream and he explained to him that this man who paid that money, his tikkun was to pay back this money to this gevir. That was his tikkun. The last Gilgul, he owed him money, and he had to pay back this money. And therefore, he paid back this money to the gevir, and therefore, when he fulfilled his tikkun, that's why he was nifta. That's why he was niftar. In other words, there are certain elements of society that one cannot possibly predict other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu involving himself and making sure a person gets what he deserves. And therefore, that's Peshat, says at Divrei Yecheskel, Da Sidra de Gilgulta. This is the Seder of Gilgulim. That sometimes we don't understand why certain things happen. It seems unfair. It doesn't seem like, you know, Halacha is helping us. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the other hand, has a way of making sure that Gilgulim and certain things happen in order to better the person's real, actual position in Olam HaNeshamos. And this, again, you take it or leave it, it sounds like a Rebbe Shemaisa, Chassidish Shemaisa, but the Chazanish, yeah, the Chazanish was not Chassidish. The Chazanish was not Chassidish, correct?
Agreed.
You agreed, okay. The Chazanish was not Chassidish. There's a Maisa Shehoya. There was some Bochrim from Ponovich went in the street, and they found a shilling lying on the floor.
What?
And a shilling. A shilling, they found a coin, an English coin lying on the floor in the time of the mandate. So they picked up the shilling, and the Chaznish walks past, and they asked the Chaznish, are we allowed to keep this money? Are we allowed to keep the money? So the Chaznish says, of course you can. You find the money in the street, it's got no simon, you can keep it. He said, but what happens if the person was not Meyayish? The person was not Meyayish, and Yush Le Midas is Loi Hava Yush, right? And therefore it's also to keep it. Correct? If the person was not Meyayish. If a person was a Meyayish, if a person was not Meyayish, usually Midas Loy have a Yeush, he doesn't know about it, he didn't know that he lost some money.
Oh,
and therefore he was a Meyayish. So therefore I picked it up before Yeush. Even if later on he gave up, he had Yeush, I can't keep it. So what's the halacha of this case? So the Chazan Ish said, Eile Hamishpotim Asher Tosim Lifnehem. What does that mean? Eile Hadronish Tosim Lifnehem, says the Chazan Ish, okay? Motzah mois mufuzorois hare elu shloi, a Mishnah in Bava Metzia. That if you find the money on the floor, like spread out, not in an organized way, it belongs to him. Eilem mishpotim ashtosim lifnei means sometimes a Kodesh Baruch Hu makes mishpotim that you should be lifnehem. That Kodesh Baruch Hu puts money in front of you that you should pick it up. In other words, halacha determines that sometimes Hashem wants it that you should pick up the money. Mami hashkocha protet, Hashem wants you to pick up that money. So Eilim Mishpotim Ashtosim, sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu is like, Lifnehem means in front of you, Kodesh Baruch Hu puts money and wants you to take it. So one Bocha said to the Chazanish, does the Chazanish mean the Zoyah HaKodesh that the Shin of Arav brings about Levi Yitzchok? So the Chazanish said, absolutely. He said, I'll tell you, he says, if the person would have Yeush already, if the person would have given up hope already, yes, then ultimately, you're picking up something from Hefka. It's already made it ownerless. If it picks up from them, then this person who dropped it doesn't have a tikkun. If he owed the money to the person who finds it, and it's already hefka, that stage is ownerless, then he's not returning money from him to the owner. It's coming from a ownerless state to him. Therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu does it that he's not the Yayish, that he should not give up hope, and by doing so, you're picking up money that belongs to somebody, but that is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been Masadeh Gilgulim. That's how Kodesh Baruch Hu has decided for the world to function. The Chazanish says that. Okay?
He didn't pick it up.
And if he picked it up, and if it's yours, Mamonov Shoch, either way. Either it's Hefka, because he's given up hope and you can take it, or if it's not Hefka, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made it that you should pick it up, in order, al pi halacha, that you should get back what is yours, and this person should pay back as a tikkun for his old Gilgul. Ad kan divrei hachazan ish. Okay? Okay, we have the license here that he was not Chassidish, right? That is what he says. Now, Rabbi said, this is very, very powerful. What it means over here is as follows. We see the world of law and order. We see the world of monetary obligations, of coexisting, in as much that we got to make sure that we, human beings, make a halachic society in order that the society should survive. Otherwise, if people start damaging each other and not paying back, and there's no din of shoimrim, of guardians, then the whole society would collapse. Wrong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a way of making sure there's a just deserts of each and every person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a way of making sure that if you steal something, on the short term you may get it, you may win, and you may gain. But in the long term, you're only going to lose, and that person will get it back eventually. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in total control of the world to the extent that he knows even from Gilgal to Gilgal what a person's entitled to, and he'll get it back. And a person who has something that doesn't belong to him will have to pay it back. We are not organizing the world for the Rabbeinu Shalom. We have to fulfill mitzvahs in order to make sure that we don't keep our Kodesh Baruch Hu busy, as it were. In other words, we have to make sure that there's halacha to keep. We have to keep the Torah. But it's not in order to make society survive. HaKodesh Baruch Hu is very capable of making society survive without our help. And we're doing it for ourselves to get the schus of keeping the mitzvahs. The Eile Advarim Ashtosim Mishpotim Ashtosim Lifneihem. Lifneihem is a Kosh Baruch Hashanah puts money in front of the person to pick it up in order for Dos Sidra de Gilgulta, Do Raza de Gilgulta. This is the secret of Gilgulim, to pay back for the previous Gilgul. Now this is a very, very important concept. Let's go one step further. In this week's parasha, it begins with an Eved Ivri. And as you know, a Jewish servant, what happens is, he stays for 6 years, and the seventh year, nothing to do with Shemitah, and the seventh year, he goes out. What happens if he says, I want to stay? So he gets Rotz Adonav Es Ozna B'Matzeah, he takes his ear and he goes to a doorpost. Why does he go to a doorpost? So Rashi says, Man Ishtana Deles Mezuzah, why is the Deles Mezuzah different? So he says, Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Deles Mezuzah Shoye Eidim B'Mitzrayim. They were the Eidim B'Mitzrayim, Kishu Pesachti Ala Mashkif Ashtay Mezuzah, when I jumped over Mashkif Ashtay Mezuzah. But Martin has said, Kali B'nei Yisrael Avodim, that you should be to me Avodim, Avodai Heim, you're my Avodim, not Avodim to Avodim. And this went along and acquired an Eved for himself. Okay, so Kodesh Baruch Hu said that at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, you should be my Avodim. Okay, what's that got to do with this Eved right now? Kodesh Baruch Hu happens to be, at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, he jumped over a house that had blood on the doorpost, and happened to be then that he said this, and therefore the Eved later on, generations later, many generations, because only when Yovel is Noig, yeah, then the Eved actually goes through this process, and he remembers, well, what's the connection over here? So Mephoshim explained like this, I don't remember who it is, the Chassam Sefer says like this. He says, the only reason why an Eved steals in the first place is he does not see the Rabbeinu Shalom in his life. He does not see that it's Hashgacha Pratis. He does not believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to finance him and he's able to have the tools to finance himself in a way that is ethical, that is Al Pi Halacha, and that is Yoshal, straight. If a person has to go and start stealing money, he is a little bit of an apokoros, or a lot of an apokoros. He does not believe that Kodesh Baruch Hu is able to give him the tools to have a panasa that is Yosho. In Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu jumped over Posach, he jumped over. Where was the blood? Outside or inside? Inside! The blood was inside! The blood was inside! In other words, how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu jump over from one to the other? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, do your hishtadlis and I'll look after you. But the hishtadlis is how do you know what's going on? Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I know exactly what's going on. I know exactly if he sprinkled the blood at all. And you do a little bit of Ishtadlis inside that is not even noticeable from outside to jump over. And Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'll look after you. For an Eved to go along and to steal and for 6 years be in this servitude and then say, I want to remain longer here because I don't know how to make my own parnasa and I want to be an Eved to an Eved, is missing the point of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The point of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to give us the understanding and the realization that it's all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And if we don't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, later on we'll take away what was unethical and give it back to the person who gets it. It's nothing to do with us doing this. The Ksav Sefer says, Ve'eilem HaShvatim HaShatosim Lifneihem slightly differently. He says HaShatosim Lifneihem means when you come up to Shemaim after 120, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the first question, Nasata v'Nasata v'Emuna. Were you honest in your business? Were you honest in your business? Kvat itim natoira, yeah, but were you honest in your business? I'm not sure what the first question is. First question? Yeah, it's the first question. Were you honest in your business? So he says, why is that important? He says, because before you do anything else, before you buy a lulav, and before you buy matzahs, and before you buy gefilte fish, yeah, and before you do any of these wonderful mitzvahs, of key mitzvahs, Ve'eila ha-mishpotim asher tosim lifneihem. These are mishpotim put before lifneihem, before any mitzvah you do, make sure that you have mishpotim. Make sure you're doing it in an ethical, moral fashion. Because otherwise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want it. It's a very, very scary thing that the Manchester Rosh Hashiva says. He brings from the Rimnava, the Chassidish Rebbes, he says that the reason why, unfortunately, so many children, sometimes Nebuch, don't follow them in the paths of Torah, and they go off the derech, as it were, is because they have timtum halev. Because their heart is being, what's the timtum halev come from? They're being fed with osa food. What do you mean? You're talking about perfect hechsherim. No, but the money has been made in an unethical way. Swindling insurance companies, not paying your taxes. I don't know. It's done in a way that the money is taken and it's stolen. And therefore, therefore it's Timtum Halev. That makes Timtum Halev in the child. And therefore that is why the child is not possible. That the element of Tosim Lifneim, before you do any mitzvah, I should Tosim Lifneim. The Beis Halevi says that is why Parshas Mishpatim comes before Parshas Truma. That before you start giving tzedakah, and before you start being a great tzaddik, make sure all the money that you have until now is ethical. Right. Make sure before you start doing all mitzvahs, make sure what you have right now is ethical. It's a continuation of Sinai. What's the continuation of Sinai? The function and idea. That Kodesh Baruch Hu at HaSinai, we saw the Rebbein Shalem in his glory. We saw Rebbein Shalem Mamish with our own eyes. Right? And we saw the Shechinah. When a person works, goes to business, he has to understand how Kodesh Baruch Hu is running his life. Every single thing he does, he has to do Al-Pi HaTorah, not because how Kodesh Baruch Hu told him to, and he has no choice, but he will gain in the end of the day. No. Dot rather the Gulgulta. You will gain nothing because the Kodesh Baruch Hu will take it away from you eventually and give it to the other person. That is it, that is a koyach. The elements of how the Gedolim were careful with Sheker and Emes and Gneva. Do you know Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's wife, was about to go into surgery. Emes Liakov, about to go into surgery. And he's wanted to phone up Ramosha Feinstein for a brocha that he should daven for his wife before she goes into surgery. Right? Listen to this. It's a shocking story. And he tried to get through to Ramosha on his regular number and he couldn't get through. Ramosha was, the line was busy. Rabbi Yaakov had Ramosha's private number. That is a private number that he gave to Rabbi Yaakov as a private number, which is X directory, a special number you can phone through. You know, the hotline. So he said, why didn't you phone on that number? He says, Rabbi Moshe did not give me that number for private matters. It's only for klal matters he gave me that number. My wife's operation is a private matter, not a klal matter. To take away Rabbi Moshe, it's Geneva Stas, I'm not allowed to, that's not my ishtadlus. I should toss him with me. Shkoyach. What am I doing? Martin from the